Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN on a Wednesday hump day. It's a very special one because it's opening night for your Memphis Grizzlies. Their 25th season begins tonight down at FedEx Forum. We'll do it against a familiar foe, the New Orleans Pelicans. Ja Morant is ready to go. Jaren Jackson Jr. is ready to go. I'm going to go ahead and throw it in. Jalen Wells is ready to go. The rest of this team, we don't know because that's the truth. But we'll start figuring out all tonight. Grizzlies, a 4.5-point favorite last I looked. Now, let's see if I can knock the rust off. Make sure you're locked in here, starting at 6:30 for pregame with the great Jessica Benson. Ooh, we starting it off right. Tip off, of course, at 7 with the GOAT, Eric Hasseltine. I do remember how to do that. And I remember... We once had the NBA on NBC, and what a fun thing that was to see last night it returned. We also had opening night, obviously, in the NBA last night. OKC gets that double overtime win. Man, SGA came alive late, didn't he? Did it without Jalen Williams. This was obviously over Houston. That was a good one, and so was the call. We'll talk about everything. The fact that it was on NBC, the game itself, a great game between the Rockets and the OKC, and then Luka and LeBron with a LeBron-less Lakers team came up a little shout. Against Golden State. We're going to talk all about it because there's a lot to see. Some good ones tonight in addition to the one here, obviously. Got Cavs and Knicks. How about this one? Spurs at Mavericks. Wimby versus Cooper Flagg. Really nice there. ESPN's got a nice couple of games. We are focused, obviously, on the one here. So lots to get to today in what should be a very full show and fun show.
Yeah, no, I also want to say keep it locked. 3 p.m. Grizz beat.
Thank you.
Game day Grizz beat. First one of the season. You know,
we're ready. We're locked for the regular season.
You're not going to be the only person on this show that lifts. All right, there's going to be multiple lifters.
I appreciate it
on this show.
I will do my best.
And you've got on, I hesitate to call it Beale Street Blue, but although it is a form of blue, it's more like a.
I'm not sure what you would call this.
Yeah, it's
this
like
color.
A it's like a tealish, right?
Teal.
Yeah.
Maybe an electric teal.
Teal on Beale. There.
Boy, you've been liming your tail off today.
There you go.
He was doing it off air too. He's on a roll.
Hey, Jay, there's Beale Street Blue and there's Beale Teal.
The only question is whether there'll be a jacket tonight for the regular season opener.
Yeah.
That's the only question in it.
Are you heading down to the game?
I'm thinking about it. I got Bible study at 7.
Oh,
that's the
tough.
Issue. Yeah. As the host for Bible study,
I can't leave your people hanging.
Pass those duties off to someone else.
Yeah.
That said, I will be at many a game this year. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love
as
it.
Your host of Grizzby. Thank you for that, John. Feels real good.
Now,
you know, the pat on the back is nice when it comes this way.
Hey, you know.
We want you to get your flowers.
I appreciate that.
You're doing things out here. You're not just doing, you know, you're a multimedia man yourself. You know, we want to make sure that, you know, you get your flowers as well.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, we got a lot to get to on the show today. Obviously, NBA season kicked off last night, a doubleheader, both on NBC. Get into our thoughts on that. It seems to be less about the scores of the game as opposed to where the games were aired and presented. So we can get into that today here on the show. Grizzlies opener tonight against the Pelicans, as you mentioned. 4.5s are out there. We're going to call it 4, though.
Okay.
We're going to call it consensus.
Well, I defer to you on that.
Some money came in on the Pelicans this morning, took out most of the 4.5s. I'm even seeing some 3.5s out there. But we're going to call it a consensus.
Was that you and Mike Miller or what?
Was that me and Mike Miller?
Y'all dump some in there?
I think Mike Miller's I think he's banned from, although he does have a client.
I was going to say.
Yeah, he does have a client on the Pelicans, Jeremiah Fears.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good call that he will be there tonight.
Who you've talked up. Is he in the rotation?
He probably won't be.
Okay, I didn't think so to start.
Yeah. Although Murray's out, so maybe.
Okay.
You know, but I mean, it's Alvarado. And then maybe Fears. Fears would be third if Murray was healthy, would be my guess. But, yeah, he did have a great summer league. He's only 18. Like, he's very, very young.
We know you have the file.
Yeah, so I will get that to you for your show today.
Yeah, you've been talking about him since the draft.
At 3 o'clock, so you can have all the facts about Fears. Zero Fears. Great jersey. One of the best-selling jerseys in the NBA.
We won't be touching on that on Grizzbeat on Grind City Media at 3 p.m.
I don't want to put it past Mike to have a Fears segment. You know?
Don't need it.
Zero Fears. But anyway, we'll get into all that today here on the show. Norton Hurd, the fourth, is going to join us from Team Thad, program director and coach. We'll talk to him about basketball, NBA on NBC.
Yes.
You were at a media day this week, although, you know, I don't know if that will come up.
We'll see. I was at Tennessee Collegiate Academy yesterday for the media.
A lot of people didn't even realize this yesterday, but Jason skirted his duties.
Well, again, when Jeff leaves to go on assignment, you guys say it. You didn't say anything about me being gone. The people might have missed me. Of course, you didn't get anything.
You're right.
Just seemed like they didn't. I hope Frank missed me. I listened to the entire segment.
I think Frank did.
On my way rolling north out to Tipton-Rosemark. That's quite a haul, as you know. Brad's giving it the salute.
Long way out there.
Yeah, you're going to put some miles on the Jeep heading out that way.
Yes.
But what a shindig it was, and appreciate everybody out there for the welcome.
We got the schedule.
We're ready to rock.
Damn near no games in Memphis.
Well, we knew that coming in because they're playing a national schedule.
Right.
A lot of times they're going to be in these tournaments that are going to be out on the road anyway. So this is a travel team, John. It's a national powerhouse they're trying to put together. So for the few times that we will get to see them here in Memphis, hopefully you get a chance to get out.
Yeah, but we'll
appreciate
we'll,
that shout out as well.
Yeah,
we were working on behalf of 929
absolutely
making an appearance.
Absolutely right. We'll talk to her about that.
Crazy. Devontae Pack was out there.
11:25. Devontae Pack.
I mean, that's,
is he involved?
He is. He's on the staff. He's got them folks a PSD. Isn't that,
wow.
Is the underwear PSD that Ja wears?
Yes.
He got them folks a PSD deal.
Wow.
Devontae. Yes. He's out there. He's out there on the staff now. So he was in the presser as well. So it was really interesting to see the group of folks that have come together to make this happen. Obviously, it's on the Nike Scholastic League. First year, 20 teams. All now, you know, the first, you know, you could call it, hopefully it's going to be that, you know, national prep school powerhouse here in Tennessee. They've got a chance to be that. This is the first year. They've got quite a roster. We'll see how it goes. But Tipton-Rosemark obviously partnered with them on the academic side, and it seems to have been a seamless transition so far for those student-athletes.
Yes. So we will talk about all of that today with Hurd at 11:25. Then at 12:45, we have a very special guest in studio. What is it? The event is escaping me, but there's an event that's coming up. You have the details.
Ball Cards and Brews 3. We've done this now for 3 straight years. I'm very proud that we have. Ryan Deedy is an old friend. Used to work for the Grizzlies. Now he's does a lot of work for the Miracle League of Memphis, and really this is a passion project for him. We've talked about it. This event, which is on Saturday out at Grind City Brewing Company, is going to have a ton of stuff, souvenir mugs, going to have silent auctions, ton of memorabilia out there, raises money for a fully accessible baseball field and playground where all Memphians can play the game. It's a great, again, passion project that Ryan has, put basically on his back for the last 3 years. This will be year 3. It's Saturday. He's going to have Jonathan Bolin out there, the former University of Memphis pitcher, now with the Kansas City Royals. Should be another great event. They've had Rooker out there, Brent Rooker, in the past. Should be a great event. We'll have Ryan in studio. He's going to bring us a couple of mugs, too, to show folks how great this stuff is. Weirdly, he's also, this is random, but a fellow Lawrence Moten admirer.
Okay. There we go.
And this dude has Lawrence Moten memorabilia. Now, remember, we just lost the GOAT, a Syracuse legend, Lawrence Moten. And y'all know I have the Panther on my arm, tattooed very young age. Mm-hmm. Foolish, but I did it because of my admiration for Lawrence Moten. And Ryan and I both share an admiration for Lawrence.
Right.
That you know what? I might go on Saturday and buy the Lawrence Moten warm up stuff. Maybe, you know. let the garden snakes out, and put show off the tattoo again. Just in a tribute, I'm thinking.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
it. So Ryan will be in studio with us.
12:45.
Then at 1:25, we're moving some things around. Drew Hill's going to join us at 1:25.
Excellent.
We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies opener. We wanted to make sure that we just went, you know, all the way wall to wall on the opener tonight. So he is going to join us at 1:25. So that is the show today. But NBA season kicked off last night on NBC. Doubleheader on NBC. And I know a lot of people were waiting on the round ball rock. They got it. You know, what we wondered, what would it look like? How would it sound? And I got to say, I didn't watch, like, the halftime stuff. So I don't have anything intelligent to say about the halftime stuff. But, you know, just off the rip, the thing that makes you – there's two things for me. One is the fact that it's on local television makes it feel big. It's on NBC. It's on an over-the-air affiliate. Makes it feel like a big event. It makes it feel like Sunday Night Football. Usually these things are on cable, these games are on cable, and it doesn't feel as big. Just it being available on local television made it feel big. That, I think, is a good thing for the NBA. Secondly, Tirico makes it feel big. When I think about Tirico, I think about Sunday Night Football, which is like a standalone big game. And he sounded excited. He sounded pumped for the opportunity, you know, to be sort of this new voice of the NBA as well. I know he had done some Olympics too, so I just thought, you know, in far as I didn't watch a ton of the second game, but in terms of the first game, I thought it just felt big, which is a I feel like a new thing for the NBA. It felt bigger than it usually does.
Yeah, on a Tuesday night.
Exactly.
And that's the difference. And so, listen, I thought the presentation was great. I Mike Tirico is number one for NBC, whether it's been Olympics or, you know, Sunday Night Football, whatever it is. And so to have number one on the NBA, yes, I get what you're saying. I mean, it makes it feel official. It makes it feel big. Kind of would have been tough for anybody not to get excited. But the game that they had, the thing went into double overtime, and you have two teams that, quite frankly, could be battling out for the Western Conference title. With all due respect to Denver, who I think is going to be and prove that it should be in that mix as well. And you had it going to double overtime. With KD and SGA guarding each other at the end, like, he had a great one to open up on. I think that's the part NBC opens up and gets a monster game in terms of the way that closed out. SGA was, I'll just say it, he was not SGA for the first three quarters. He comes alive in the fourth and in double overtime. Overtime carries them. This is an OKC team defending champ, obviously, but without Jalen Williams, their all-star Ford, who's shown to be the Robin to SGA's Batman. I mean, it was the game. It's the game they got in that slot in their first time out. Yeah, round ball rock, all of it. Like, they couldn't have asked for a better opening to kick it off, and especially with the way that game ended. And so, great night for NBC, great opening night for the NBA. I realize you'd like to have had LeBron, but we've known for a while he wasn't going to be a part of that second game. And we saw, I think, what we sort of believed. At some point, this is going to be Luka trying to carry that Lakers franchise. You know, Reeves was good. But the rest of it, they've still got to figure out. And LeBron, at some point, is going to get phased out. But maybe that's a sort of a preview of the future. You know, with LeBron back, who knows? Maybe they can, you know, Golden State, I believe in. Lakers, I don't know. So maybe they can show themselves as a true contender, competitor in the West when LeBron is back. But last night, I thought Golden State just wore them down too much. Got mature Kuminga out there now.
Yeah.
You know? And when Jimmy Butler and Steph play together, they are good. The issue is getting them both on the floor, getting Jimmy. Well, Jimmy's healthy. And so Golden State looked real. For a lot of folks had them picked in the finals. I'm like, health? They looked good last night.
Yeah, they looked really good. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, LeBron maybe can make that look like a better operation. But, yeah, so far the old redemption attempts with Marcus Smart and DeAndre Ayton, it didn't get off to a rocking start last night.
Look at 43-12-9.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah, it is.
With the new body, like, he did everything that was asked. I mean, JJ has to be loving that just in terms of the future. He knows it ain't about this. You know, let's be real. They'll tell themselves they're competing for a title, but this is a transition season to move it to Luka and off LeBron.
Yeah, they should
trade
LeBron.
That's what it's going to be about.
They should just trade him.
If he'll do it, doesn't he have
just trade where he wants
to go. Veto power.
Yeah, trade him where he wants to go, but at least get something for him, right?
Yeah. I mean, no, I would.
Because, like,
if he allows you to. My guess, he wants to go to Cleveland.
This roster stinks. I mean, it stinks with no LeBron. You know, I mean, obviously, he comes back. He fixes, you know, at least some of it. But Yeah, I mean, you're talking about depending on guys like Ayton and Marcus Smart and Jake LaRavia and Vanderbilt. Like, it ain't – you're not going – it looks like kind of what Luka was doing with the Mavs all those years, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of without the Kyrie.
Yeah.
You know, so
– back to your point on the NBC crew, I thought Tirico – it was Tirico, Reggie, and Jamal Crawford, right? Those were the three that are trying to get, you know, to form a chemistry. I mean, we've talked about this. We've kind of cycled through – in terms of watching the NBA on broadcast television, we've cycled through these number ones. And now, you know, with those two, it felt like Reggie and Jamal were sort of trying to figure out the cadence, mm-hmm. kind of how to come in together. But that's, I mean, it's game one. I do think, I've always said it, I think Jamal Crawford brings a lot in terms of insight. He explains the game in a way that makes it real simple, but you get a ton in that simple. And then I think Reggie's strength, I know we spend a lot of time dogging him, but it's his enthusiasm.
Right.
He is not one of them old heads like Charles, like those guys, Shaq, that's all, man, I can't believe these young dudes and all that. He loves it, and you need that. And when you pair that with Tirico, plus the game they got last night, again, NBC could not have scripted it better with the opener that they got in terms of game. It was an absolute hit and a do. I think Jamal's going to find his way, and he's going to shine in that three-man. Sometimes three can be too many. It seems like everybody's got to take their turn.
Yes.
When you don't necessarily need it.
Yes.
I think those three are going to get it worked out.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. I think it'll be a good thing for the NBA, the product overall. You know, sometimes you just need a reset. We'll see in 5 years how it feels. But obviously, I think NBC is very excited, you know, to have the product, to have the NBA, and they paid a lot of money for it. So mm-hmm. they should be. And so that was definitely a noticeable, a change last night, no question about it. Yeah, I guess really not much else to say about OKC. I mean, they're the reigning champs.
No, if we're going to Houston, I thought they were still impressive. You're talking about a team that's lost Fred VanVleet, who by the time he got the playoffs was averaging 18, 19 points. He's a key for them. What I saw was that Reed Shepard's not ready.
Yep.
Like, it was them having to go other options that were their best. Şengün was a beast.
Yeah, he was.
He's out there hitting threes now. What, he hit five of them?
Yep.
So this Houston team, KD, he missed some shots. You know, he fouls SGA at the end, the double overtime, to put him on the line, kind of put it away for OKC. But he's going to be great for them. And now he's re-upped. He's locked in. Houston's going to be right there. If I had a takeaway, it's that those that have dropped Houston because of the Fred VanVleet injury,
yep.
some significantly, and he is. He's a key to that team, and specifically because who's going to play backup point guard? Who's going to play starting point guard now?
Yep.
Those that have dropped him, that dropped them. You know, 7, 8, maybe not that far, 6. I think they'll be top three. Maybe not two, but right there with Denver.
Yeah.
Maybe battling OKC. Yeah, for top three.
Yeah.
Definitely top four still.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, that wasn't even a great KD game.
Now, you need to beat them when they don't have Jalen Williams, and you had them.
Right.
You had them on the ropes.
Right.
Couldn't finish it off, but again, no VanVleet. So they're trying to learn how to finish games now, too. And most of that's just going to be giving the ball to KD for right now.
Right. No, that's true. Very true.
Because Reed don't look ready.
So that was the NBA last night. And then obviously tonight, 7 o'clock tip, pregame here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Grizz Pelicans. It is the season opener. Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr. taking on new body concept, Zion Williamson. And we'll see what else. I mean, Trey Murphy obviously usually has good games against the Grizzlies. This will sort of be a test because the Pelicans are a team that is theoretically beneath you. They are theoretically beneath you. Now,
you would like to believe that. We all would.
And so we'll see what the gap is. You know, I mean, this is going to be life for the Grizzlies, right, for the next month. You know, these are the games that it feels like you just kind of have to win if you have hopes of treading water without these guys. Because if you can't win as a home favorite in your home opener against the Pelicans, it just kind of makes it seem like you're going to have a hard time against anybody and everybody. And that may be the case. We'll find out tonight.
Yeah, I just think particularly after 1-4 preseason, where there wasn't much to get excited about. Now, Ja Morant doesn't play, and so that's a big, big part of it. And then the way last season ended, it would be nice at least, even if you understand that this could be a step back, two steps back, reset, however you're phrasing it, it would be nice to get off.
Mm-hmm.
On a positive note, on the right foot, as John said it, against a team that you'd like to believe is still beneath you because you have Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., right? And so yes, with this three-game homestand, that's also going to include a Miami team you just beat in the preseason, didn't have Ja, you know, and Indiana, which doesn't have Halliburton. Just, even if it's just to have some good mojo here to start, you'd like to take advantage of this and come out of this, you know, 2-1 if you can. That's a back-to-back, obviously, on Friday and Saturday night. And so how you handle that when you are as banged up as you are, keep in mind, Javon Small will be the backup tonight.
Yep.
Backup point guard. Because Ty Jerome and Scottie Pippen Jr. are out. And so you're going to have a guy that, yeah, he flashed and looked good in the preseason. Is he ready for this real role in your rotation? We thought Cedric Coward. You know, John's talking about the expectations for him, number 11 pick. The guy that you're probably going to be most relying on, the rookie, is the one from West Virginia that's on a two-way.
Yep.
Because he's going to be backing up Ja Morant tonight.
That's right.
So, again, I'd like to think, okay, because of Ja and Jaren, you're going to get off to this great start. That'll be great for Mojo, for fans coming down. It's an important week. Grizzlies want to get it going. You've seen the campaign show up. You know, that's what you'd hope in a season that could get rocky, at least that you got off on the right note.
Yep. I mean, it's a Pelicans team that's kind of like, I like some of it, and then some of it, like, I don't know quite what they're doing. Like, their starting point guard tonight is going to be Jordan Poole. Mm. That's odd. But Herb Jones, Zion Williams, and Trey Murphy, like, that's a great three.
I'm not used to a Pelicans team that doesn't have CJ on it. You know, he's
right.
He's been a Grizz killer with the Pelicans. So I'm having to erase that from memory.
Right.
We'll find out who the next one is.
Yeah.
I mean, Alvarado's made some energy plays and stuff.
Yes.
But, I mean, who do you hate the most on that Pelicans team now? It was easy when it's CJ.
Because
he'd tear you up.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know. It's probably going to be Trey Murphy. Because he's the guy that, like, always seems to have 30 against the Grizz. And he'll probably do it again tonight. Because, like, the Grizz perimeter defense is very much questionable right now.
Well, you got Jalen Wells out there. And now you don't even have, you know, a guy that can at least show some intensity, bit of dog for you if he gets switched up in Scottie Pippen Jr.
That's exactly right.
So it's a lot of unproven on defense. You'd like Cedric Coward to be able to handle something like that, but you don't know.
You don't know. Well, that's the fun part of it. It's like, you don't know. We'll find out.
That was the thing about Jalen Wells last year. We didn't know.
That's true.
And he got thrown out there in that fire, and he performed very well, especially to start.
Yes.
And he kind of came back down a little bit, but obviously getting that season in, huge for him in terms of experience. You've seen the confidence he gained from last season all the way he played through the preseason.
Yes.
And defensively, yes, he's your best option out there right now.
Yeah. So it's going to be an intriguing night tonight. We'll see exactly what the Grizz, you know, come with. Home opener, I'd expect, you know, high energy, but I would expect the same with the Pelicans, who probably look across and see this wounded Grizz team, and they see a chance to, you know, start 1-0 as well. So
my guess is Grizzlies, and they've known it probably. Obviously, we haven't, because Ja was week to week. We thought so, and we saw Jaren play one and play in the preseason, end up playing two games. But you have those guys back, and for a franchise that's hoping, right, that you stick with us while we try to relearn how to win around Ja and Jaren and get the supporting cast right. Right, that you've got your two studs out there, game one,
yep,
ready to go. I'm sure they're relieved. And obviously, I know it's just another reason to get down to FedEx Forum, because you've got box office out there.
Absolutely. Box office is on the court tonight, so it should be a fun night. All right, we'll come back. Norton Hart IV is going to join us. We'll talk to him about all of this and more. J&J, and I are trying to
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN.
Norton Heard the Fourth. I could see him rolling through the streets of Memphis playing something like this. He's Team Thad program director and coach, Silver Wave Media's top 100 most influential people in men's college basketball for 2025. We're expecting him to do it again for 26. Mitchell High product and Walker Holmes finest. Follow him on X at Dream Big Herd and on IG at I Am Coach Her. Coach, have you heard Gas Station Love by EJ Jones, Memphian? Sound like Bobby Womack. Have you heard that?
Is that the guy that just signed, the young guy that's doing music
young
like that, or
brother,
that back in the day?
Young brother out of Memphis. I think he's like 23 years old, Herd. It's unbelievable, his sound at that age. You're listening to him right now. Gas Station Love, brother.
Yeah, I think 2P, the quality, somebody just signed him, a big agent, a big music label, probably maybe a few weeks ago or a month ago or something, and that's when I really got hit. But that sounds really good. I thought that was like a old school legend song right there. I was
You nailed it. It's Quality Control Label Group, Herd. You nailed it. You nailed it. He's blowing up.
Coach K and P, from Quality Control. So, and they signed him, and that's more of a rap group, so I knew he had to be special. But I like how you brought me in on that. I don't know. Jason Mung have a different song. He come on, you know, every week. And if I was to come in, that song do sound good, so I appreciate that.
You know what? We'll make it a weekly thing, especially since what you do for us, gracing us every week, Wednesdays. We've changed your times. You've been flexible with us. Herd, we really appreciate you. Before we get to I want to ask you about the NBA season, what you're most excited about, obviously the Grizzlies and your expectations. But we must first do some accountability. What happened to your Miami Canes against those Cardinals? Go.
So, it's no excuse. It was horrible. I actually text Jeffrey, and I might have texted him too late because I was frustrated. We text a lot, but it was after midnight. And I took accountability, but then I had to throw some old people under the bus. I had to put some old people in it. And so I was mad at my Canes on Friday, which I'm telling you, I know this only about the Canes. I was kind of upset with Memphis on Saturday. And then Jeffrey and them, it was either Sunday or Monday, I think the Giants just had a meltdown.
Ooh.
So by the time I got time to text him, I put it all in one, and it might have been it was at midnight, and I was talking about how bad, too, the Houston Texans offense were on Monday. So that's why it was so late. I think that game then ended at midnight. But unfortunately, I don't want to sound like this. This happened to us last year. We wasn't as strong as this year.
Yep.
But when people say the SEC and Big Ten is great, they are. But this is what's scary about the ACC. You play these games, and every year when we're killing, a Georgia Tech has just beat us on a hot day, or an NC State. It's almost, I'd rather just play SEC come ball day one, because you know you got to be prepared. You can't do no lacking. You got to be 100% focused. And then, two, the losses don't hurt as bad.
I don't know if that was accountability, but we'll take it. You did say there's no excuse for a loss like that.
He did say that, but he then immediately went to Saturday.
There's a lot of beating around the bush. You threw in the Tigers. You threw them under the bus. You had to bring up the Giants' loss and Brian Daboll. I don't know how that gets into this answer. You brought Jeffrey in to do it.
Jeffrey team.
Yeah, you tied it all around with Jeffrey Wright. Very convenient for you. Very convenient for you.
No. But let me say this. It kind of happened that fast, guys. Like, Miami plays Friday, right? We lose. I'm mad.
Yep.
Then in my head, I'm like, all right, I got something to look for on Saturday. Tigers win. We potentially do game day. You get what I'm saying? It was like it was getting worse as the weekend went on.
Domino
effect. So I'm not throwing nobody else under it, but I was more hurt on Friday. And I'm sure y'all done talked about it all week, so I don't want to beat a dead horse. But when Saturday came and that happened, I was like, whoa, you know what I mean? Because
we felt it
that
too.
Was very unexpected.
Yeah,
I don't want to get on that because that ain't what it's about. And like I said, I'm sure y'all done talked about that enough this week if it's Wednesday. But it all kind of came into one, honestly.
Yeah, it did. All right, let's shift gears a little bit to the NBA. Debuted last night on NBC. It's going to be a lot of places this year. It's going to be on Prime. It's going to be on ESPN. It's going to be on NBC. What'd you think? I don't know. I hope you got a chance to catch it and see the presentation. What'd you think of the presentation on NBC last night?
So I thought it was good. I didn't watch everything, John and Jason. I kind of was flipping through. I had a couple of Zooms. I thought it was good. I'm more of a guy that's easier to please. You know, you give me a good station, good quality, you know, good production. So I thought it was good. I saw more of the OKC in Houston than I did the other game. What was the other game?
Lakers-Warriors.
Lakers-Warriors, yeah. So I saw more of the OKC game, and I thought it was good. I see how they tried to present it. I mean, when the game started, just basketball, I know y'all a little bit more in production. Was it a different feel for y'all watching it on NBC instead of ESPN? Like, what was the...
Yeah, like, I mean, because you had Mike Tirico on it. You know, he's the number one on Olympic for NBC. And so mm-hmm. to have him on NBA, the excitement he brings, it just, to John's point, I think it made it feel big, especially on a Tuesday night. It's on broadcast TV.
Exactly.
And it's going late into the night. I would ask you specifically about that Houston team, because I know we can all come away saying, wow, OKC, SGA, did it without Jalen Williams. Very, very impressive to get that win. But Denver, minus Fred VanVleet, did they show us last night? You know, they had Amen Thompson out there, sort of in a semi-point guard role. They didn't start Reed Shepard. And so did we see a team that can stay right there in contention at the top of the West, in you know, running them to double overtime? What do you think about that Houston team after what we saw last night?
I like them. I think Houston is one of the teams we have talked about, like, over the last few months about. We thought them and Dallas and certain teams would be right there with OKC. So I think they got their score in Durant as the year go on. I think they got a bunch of young, athletic talent that can do different things versatility-wise. I think they have a good coach. Me, personally, though, when it gets to the nitty-gritty, I still are one of them old-school guys that prefer a good point guard on the court long-term.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be good, really good, really good with what they have. But I do think if Fred VanVleet, when they got hurt, I think their ceiling is higher with a veteran point guard that can score like him, that's a champion. Me personally, I know it don't look as good. Now you can put all the stats out and the flyers showing our whole starting lineup is 6'11". Okay, I get that, right? And it won't sound as sexy, but from a productivity-wise and a coach-wise, and you're going throughout the playoffs,
yep.
I would love to have a veteran point guard like Fred VanVleet with me.
To his point, Şengün led him in assists last night.
Right.
Like, they don't have the go-to playmaker.
They don't.
If Reed Shepard's not going to be it,
yeah.
Maybe he becomes it.
They'll have to figure it out or just live with the growing pains of Reed Shepard. I was on with Jeff earlier today, Heard, and we were talking about this home opener with the Grizzlies and how Ja Morant is you know, one of the most exciting players in the NBA, and no matter what the wins and losses may look like, and there may be more losses than wins in the early part of the season, at least you have Ja Morant to watch down at FedEx Forum. In terms of, like, guys that, you know, are must-watch in the NBA for you, and I'm not asking for, you know, a list of 15 guys, but, like, who's on your short list of, like, if he's playing basketball tonight, I'm going to be in front of a TV?
So, you got your usual suspects. Let me just say this, John. Let me break it in two parts. You got your usual suspects that, you know, we're going to watch anyway because they've been great for so long. That's your LeBrons, your KDs, and your Currys. But I think they're kind of like going to be moving out the way, so to speak. And my guys are who I want to be my dream backcourt for this USA 28, I believe, whenever they go to L.A.,
yeah.
Is Ja Morant and Anthony Edwards. Them are the guy. Y'all know how much I love Ant-Man,
yeah.
and know him. Them are two of my, you know, favorite. That is healthy, too, because y'all got to understand, like, Hallenberger is not healthy. Lillard is not healthy this year. Kyrie Irving, you don't know when he's coming back, right? So Ja Morant and Ant-Man is definitely two that just – come off my meters. I know LaMelo Ball is exciting. I don't really watch Charlotte much, though. Trae Young do some good stuff. I'm missing somebody that's really exciting that's still young. Jalen Brunson is really impressive.
I hate watching Jalen Brunson play. I can't stand it. You like watching Jalen Brunson?
So in the playoffs, I do because when you see a guy that's not, you know, people would say not as fast, not athletic. I mean, anything you want to say, you can minus everything. He'd go to a combine today, and if it went by combine charge, he'd be the 99th best player. But when you see he's averaging, and I'm not exaggerating, like 30.
Mr. Clutch.
And it's like, this is really impressive. So you grow to appreciate that, John, as a basketball head or, you know, the things he's getting done.
Dude, I don't know about you, Herd. I'm just putting this out there because I know some people would have Donovan higher. I would take Jalen Brunson before Donovan Mitchell every single day of the week and twice on Sunday because Jalen Brunson is tough. Donovan Mitchell's never been to a conference final. I mean, this Cleveland team last year, and I realize they got a little banged up, but Donovan, to me, hasn't proven it yet that he can get a team over. Jalen Brunson, I know you haven't won a finals, but I've seen that dude put a short rotation on his back and then be there, banged up or not, when you need him in the clutch. So I don't know about you, but Brunson, to me, I'd have over a guy like Donovan Mitchell that might fly a little higher, dunk the ball a little harder because Jalen ain't dunking that thing, but I'll take the Warrior.
So that is a hard comparison, a good comparison, Jason. Kind of what you need, though, because I don't think Donovan, as small as he is, if you got to play him at the point guard, I don't know if your team is as productive. And Jalen Brunson has shown that he can do it from the point guard with the productivity. So, no, I totally get where you stand from this point. But they're both good. I think Cleveland had a chance to get over the edge. I mean, yeah, Cleveland, but I don't know what happened. But
Garland was hurt. Remember, that was part of it. They were a little banged up inside, too. Garland was hurt. You know, they can play Donovan off the ball because of Darius Garland.
For sure. No, for sure. So that's what I'm saying. So the two guard, he's really good. That's tough. If you had to ask me who I want, I have to sleep on it, but you go point guards first. But two guys I want to make sure I mention too, Jason and John, that just popped in my head when you say exciting and showtime is Joker. I can't forget him. Mm-hmm. Like, with this not being a big man era, I'm just so impressed how he – and another guy that can't jump, but it's like his floater on 100%. He just finds angles – the way he's always active to even get boards with Kane Jump, how he can just get everybody involved. He makes the three, he makes the two. It's exciting. I didn't see him punish some big man before. I'm like, whoa, you know, in the playoffs before. So, joking, of course, the MVP last night, I forgot about Shea. That's disrespectful, not even saying his name first.
He is not excited to watch at all.
John, what do you call it exciting? Because I know you said Brunson. I kind of look at, like, skill set, hard to other – like, his skill set is so undeniable, and it's, like, purity to the game. So what do you think, dunking on people crossing?
No, I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Brunson both play unethical basketball. They foul bait. They just seek out fouls, and that's their game. And is that a skill?
Brunson don't knock down clutch threes. He wasn't Mr. Clutch. Is that all off foul calls?
He does, but I think he depends on the whistle. And I think Shai last night, how did he win the game? He foul baited KD.
I mean, Shai's 6'5", 6'6", ain't he? Brunson's not that tall. Brunson does it with a body that's much less geared towards this league, athletically, height-wise, and everything else.
Yeah.
He's a warrior, bro.
Yeah.
I get it.
I think, what do I look for? Guys who can pass. Guys who can, high fly for sure, high IQ. Don't depend on the referees to bail them out of situations. That's where I'm at. That's where, like, Giannis didn't get, you didn't even mention Giannis. I guess because you think he's.
I'm sorry. Yeah, and Luka. I'm sorry. Luka is very exciting too.
I mean, that man had 43, 12, and 9 last night. Luka Doncic. I was hoping I'd hear his name somewhere in there.
Yeah,
I mean, he is the show out in L.A. now.
Yeah, Luke is very, and you're right about it. But some people, I'm going to be real with you, John. That's why, whether it's a sports conversation, that's why, whether you go to a restaurant, whether you're buying a house, dating, you got to ask people, you got to find out when a person asks you a certain question, what is their take on it? Because mm-hmm. you got some people, as crazy as this sounds, they don't think Greek Freak and LeBron is exciting. They look at them as like guys that, you know, run. They'll say some crazy stuff like, oh, they just run people over and dunk, which they do way more than that. But if you take a casual fan who's not watching, you know, right, you got some people who feel like Steph Curry, that's considered exciting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And some people might feel like he just shoots. So it's very important to find out, like, that's why I asked you, what do you call excitement? But and some of the guys who don't even play a lot in the NBA is some of the more exciting players. Like, I don't know if y'all know kids. Well, y'all know him. We're going to talk about, like, the Robert Dillinghams and people like that. Like, when he get a chance to play, like, he's cooking. You know what I mean? He's an exciting player, and there's some other guys that's on the bench. But if you just tell me out the blue, I got to pay my money. Oh, I hate but Luke in it now. Ja Morant and Anthony Edwards is like my favorite backcourt of watching young guys play. And I think they're maybe even the two most the two best young American guards in the NBA right now.
I think Cooper Flagg will be on that list in a short time. He's not yet, obviously, because he's a rookie, hasn't played any games, but I think his style will lend itself to breaking through in the next 2 to 3 years. He's a tenacious defender. Obviously, an upstanding citizen, no question about that. Great young man. So, and he's going to play point guard, seems like. I think he's going to make that list.
So, I love Cooper Flagg, John. I mean, I agree with you 100%. I'm a Cooper Flagg guy. But just depending on who you're talking to, his game might not come off. I love tenacious players, but sometimes he start off with defense over offense and get going, and some people don't call it exciting.
Bringing it back to Ja real quick, if you were his coach, Herd, and you're in his ear as he's about to head out and play New Orleans tonight, what would you tell him you want to see more of from him this season?
I think it's the same thing with Ja, guys. I know we all continue to say the same stuff, and I don't want to, you know, be repetitive or nothing like that, but Ja is basically, to me, I just want him to be him. I'm that's how good I think he is. His only thing I worry about Ja is about is him staying healthy, right? Because I think he showed us at the beginning of last year, for like the first so many games, his passing IQ was off the chain during the stretch last year. I mean, I was like, oh, you know, and you know, getting downhill, he's one of the top guys his size appeared in the NBA with paint touches and paint points at certain parts of the NBA. We ain't even got to talk about the athleticism. If you want to nitpick outside of being healthy, it's just the shot thing. People want to say consistently making shots or making them in the playoffs. And I think at one point he was even shooting better, right? But I think Jai is so explosive and had the ball in his hands so much, and he has such a high IQ. I think he'll be great with just an okay jump shot if he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
You know, some people nitpick with his defense too, though. So I have seen a lot of people do that. But, you know, I haven't seen people just bully him all the time or nothing, but I have heard people say, or have, you know, scouts and different people nitpick on, you know, his defensive presence more.
We always hold him to high account because of, you know, he's the face of the franchise and you know, what he's making and everything else. What about Jaren, who next year at $49 million, when that new renegotiation and max extension kicks in, will be making $49 and then $50 million. You know, he'll be one of the top-paid bigs in the league. Is he doing enough? Like, what's next for him? We talk a lot, and you talk about what we focus on, rebounds. You talk about a guy that the last two seasons, a big, has averaged fewer than 6 rebounds a game, and yet he's being paid like the best bigs are about to be in the league, right? Jaren, for the most part, has needed a Steven Adams or a Zach Edey type next to him. So what's needed? What's next for Jaren now that he's got the big boy money?
So I think with Jaren, what you have to look at, Jason, is a spot we all want to be in life, right? So he's a really good, probably arguably the best, you know, younger or one of the few younger bigs, right? So it's one of them things when you talk about his pay is like, he's really good. You probably, you know, can get better. He's already here, and this is what the salary cap says that a guy like him these days will get. So I think, like you say, he got to continue to rebound. But his defense, it's hard to judge defense of the players these days because offense is so strong. But he's considered you know, one of the top defensive players in the NBA. He also stretches the floor. I think with him stretching the floor and the Grizzlies allowing him to, you know, play that role the last couple of years, to me, him being further away from the goal has hurt his defense too. Mm. On offense, I mean, not defense, has hurt his rebound, I'm sorry. Because on offense, he's further away from the goal. On defense, because he is one of the best defenders, I'm sure that offenses are taking him away from the goal to his man in order to get to the basket easier. So with that being said, it's still a no-excuse policy, man. We got to up our rebounding for the team to go to the next level. But think about this, Jason. Like, we all love doing extra work, but if you getting maxes, max deals,
yeah,
and you saying your number's going down, how much do that really motivate you? You know, did you get what I'm trying to say? How much do
Well, this is the way he's always played, too, right? Even back at Michigan State, I think it was Tillman or somebody next to him. Like, he's always had that big next to him. And I would just ask you, how many bigs, right? The Jokic's, the Embiid's, the ones that are paid top money as bigs in this league, Karl Anthony Towns, need another big beside them, right, to help finish off the job, to sort of address one of the flaws with the big man that you're paying max money to. So so Jaren is a little bit of an outlier, right? Because I think you nailed it. You're really paying this big money, not just because he's a big, but because of the defensive sort of, you know, unicorn that he is. But he ain't the walking double-double that the other bigs making his money are. And that's the part I need him to address.
No, you're right about it. Like I said, that's where we at. Now, you hit a good point, Jason, because I was finna say, I wouldn't compare him to the Embiid's and I would compare him more to a Karl Towns Jr., but you said it, right? And Karl Towns has actually done more well when he did have a big. He had Rudy Baum, Gobert Baum. When healthy, the Knicks prefer to play Mitchell at the five or whatever when healthy. So I think Karl Towns is another one who I think at center he helps you offensively, but at center – Karl Towns, I think it do hurt a little defensively. Now,
I'm just saying he's 12.8 boards a game last year, though, Hurd. I'm with you when he's had another big, but, you know, he can be great in that power forward role. But he's literally doubling up Jaren in rebounds at 12.8 last year. So, you know, he's getting that part done whether he's playing the four or the five.
Yeah. Well, when you said that, I can't say nothing. I was thinking in my head, I'm like, Karl Towns do be having a lot of little 12, 13 rebounds.
13 games. A game last year, man. For as much grief as we give him about being soft and everything else, it was 24.4 and 12.8 rebounds a game last year for Karl in 72 games, bro.
Like, I can't. Yeah, you can't say nothing. But I don't know what's wrong with some of these bigs because they all do want other bigs. Because I don't know if y'all hear every time Anthony Davis do an interview, and we think he's one of the best centers. He's always talking about how he wants a center next to him. I don't know if y'all heard some of them interviews. Like, Anthony Davis preferred to play four. There was a problem that was going on in L.A., I think, with Dallas, which that's going to be a scary team if everybody gets healthy. He can be the four. But Jaren just got to – he got to figure
man
out.
Up.
I mean, he got to figure it out. Or if not, Edie got to, you know, give us double digit rebound, whoever going to be the other big. We definitely got to have somebody else who's just a dog rebounder. But – with more, it's more we're going to want from you. You're making $50 million. We're not trying to get in your pocket. People are going to want a lot from you, and especially in this city.
Yeah. Hurd, great stuff as always, man.
Thanks
for the
much,
time.
Brother.
Enjoy opening night with the Grizz.
Okay, take care.
Yep. He is Norton Hurd IV. Joins us every single Wednesday here on the show. We'll come back with the rundown. Don't go anywhere. J&J 99 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. plays a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.